Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. Minister Retno Marsudi says protection of civilians must be the focus of the UN Security Council. People's Republic of China ready to strengthen strategic cooperation with Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Protection of civilians in conflict situations must be the focus of the UN Security Council. The statement was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi while presiding at the UN Security Council open session on the protection of civilians in armed conflict at the United Nations headquarters, New York, United States, on Thursday. In a press conference received in Jakarta on Friday, she emphasized that for the last few years, Indonesia has not wavered in advocating for the protection of human rights and access to humanity for civilians in situations of conflict and post-conflict. However, efforts to prioritize the safety and security of civilians continue to meet various challenges. Therefore, Minister Retno again reminded that the Security Council has a collective mandate and responsibility to protect civilians and prioritize the safety and security of the civilians. Chinese government is increasing and strengthening strategic cooperation with Indonesia. Economy is the main sector to be developed. Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia Xiao Qian, during a speech at the joint opening ceremony at his official residence in Jakarta on Friday, said that Indonesia's national development faces new opportunities. He also said that next year, Indonesia's diplomatic relations with China enter the age of 70 years. So, China is ready to take the opportunity to improve strategic and comprehensive partnerships. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, believes that the riots that occurred on May 22, 2019 did not affect investment interests in Indonesia. Chairman of KADIN, Rosan Ruslani, explained that the occurrence which made the situation in Jakarta heated up on Wednesday was only temporary. This means that the impact on the pace of investment is insignificant. After the joint opening ceremony in Jakarta on Friday, he added that domestic investment is supported by strong national economic fundamentals. One parameter is that Indonesia's economic growth reached more than 5% in the first quarter of 2019. The Swiss Federal Council issued an official document related to the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between Indonesia and the European Free Trade Association, or EFTA, member states and proposed it to the Swiss Parliament on Wednesday for endorsement. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said that the Swiss step is a follow-up to his bilateral meeting with Swiss Minister of Economy, Education and Research Guy Parmelendi in Bern, Switzerland on May 9, 2019. In a written statement released on Friday, Minister Enggar Tiasto also said that this is good news from Switzerland, which reflects the seriousness of the settled the IECPA ratification process and makes the EFTA countries, Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein, the first group of European countries to have a free trade agreement with Indonesia. Indonesia and the EFTA member state signed the Indonesia-Europe Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IECPA, in Jakarta on December 16, 2018. Japan has agreed to give Indonesia a grant worth 5,089 billion yen for three reconstruction and disaster mitigation projects and a loan worth 30,980 billion yen to develop waterways in Jakarta. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii and Director General of Asia Pacific and African Affairs of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry Desra Percaya signed an exchange of notes on the grant and loans in Jakarta on Friday. Under the exchange of notes, Japan will carry out a technical cooperation project to formulate a reconstruction design, prepare a program to implement the reconstruction design, and realize the program. The Japanese embassy said in a written statement that the grant is also part of the efforts to provide reconstruction assistance. With the assistance, the rehabilitation and reconstruction of disaster hit areas could hopefully be realized soon to contribute to the creation of a sturdy community in the event of a natural disaster. Jakarta Police Chief Inspector General Gatot Edi Pramono has ensured that the situation in Jakarta is safe following the riots that happened on Tuesday night after the official election results were declared. When reviewing the situation in front of the Election Supervisory Agency or Bawaslu building in Jakarta on Friday, General Gatot remarked that the situation in Jakarta is conducive and the security forces along with Jakarta's residents have maintained the situation. He confirmed that currently the situation around the Election Supervisory Agency building is safe. He also noted that means of transportation of public vehicles have been allowed to pass on Jalan Agus Salim towards Tanah Abang area, but several security forces are still on alert along Jalan MH Tamrin. For several times, Mount Agung in Karangasem Regency, Bali Province erupted again. More recently, the eruption occurred on Friday evening. This was reported by Head of Data Information and Public Relations Center of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency or BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, in his written statement on Friday. He said that Mount Agung Observation Post in Rendang recorded an eruption accompanied with incandescent stones or lava as far as 2.5 kilometers to 3 kilometers in all directions. The status of Mount Agung remains level 3, on which the community or climbers and tourists are recommended not to carry out activities at a radius of 4 kilometers from the peak of Mount Agung. That's the news, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first news comes from South Lampung. The Indonesian Red Cross, or PMI, distributes mosquito nets at the Sunda Strait Tsunami Disaster Site in the South Lampung region, especially in affected areas that are in the endemic locations of malaria transmission, such as Sebesi Island, Raja Basa District. Coordinator of Lampung Province PMI Operation Field Sumianto said on Thursday that the Red Cross volunteers continued to carry out service during the recovery phase of the tsunami disaster site, especially anticipating the spread of malaria and health promotion to disaster victims. In addition to health promotion, the Red Cross volunteers also carry out hygiene promotion and education and procedures for the use of mosquito nets for vulnerable groups in communities in endemic locations. The next news comes from the province of East Kalimantan. Dayak Society Ethnic Bahausa in Lama Tering Village in Tering District of West Kutai held a history year seminar on the establishment of Ukuung or Village of Tering Hawang People in Lamin Adat or Amin Ayak Maran Umak Huang Tering on Saturday last week.
The seminar took the theme Dang Barau Adat Umaak Wang Triring, or Don't Forget the Customs of the Tering People Village. And the sub-theme was Revealing the History of Umaak Wang Triring, Preserving Traditional Customs and Culture. Mula Warman University Senior Anthropologist Dr. G. Simon Devung said, the seminar aims to explore history and culture that are important to complement the history of travel and uncover the history of the Umah Wang Tring Dayak tribe and continue to preserve traditional customs and culture. And news from Indonesia with info from Lombok. The World Bank delegation from several countries such as Morocco, Cambodia, and Timor Leste, accompanied by representatives of the Indonesian National Development Planning Agency, visited West Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara, to study the process of handling stunting. The arrival of 17 delegates was welcomed by West Lombok Regional Secretary Muhammad Taufik, who was accompanied by the Head of Health Office West Lombok Regency, Haji Rahman Syahnan Putra, in West Lombok on Thursday. West Lombok Regency being the first which progressively was able to significantly reduce the number of stunting cases. Head of the West Lombok District Health Office, Rahman Sahan, said the number of stunting cases in West Lombok in 2007 reached 49%. This figure dropped to 32% in 2016. The latest data shows in February 2019, the number of stunting cases in West Lombok was reduced to 25.04%. Delegates from Morocco, Cambodia, and Timor Leste were in West Lombok district for several days. They visited several villages to see firsthand the activities of health workers who would later be applied in their country. Well, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, here is Today in History. The program Today in History begins with the event on which Ismail Marzuki passed away on May 25th. The legendary Indonesian composer Ismail Marzuki passed away on May 25th, 1958, at the age of 44. In 2004, he, as the creator of some national songs such as Halo Halo Bandung, Gugur Bunga, and Rayuan Pulau Kelapa, was named as one of Indonesia's national hero figures. His name is now enshrined as an art center in Jakarta, namely Taman Ismail Marzuki in Central Jakarta. We turn to the event of the establishment of the Organization of African Unity. On May 25, 1963, as many as 32 heads of African countries signed the establishment of the Organization of African Unity in Addis Ababa City, Ethiopia. The initiators of this organization are Gamal Abdul Nasser from Egypt, Kwame Nkrumah from Ghana, and Ahmad Sekou Touré from Guinea. This organization aims to unite African countries, resolve disputes among members, and fight for the independence of colonized African countries. We end Today in History with the McDonnell's Douglas DC 10-10 event from African Airlines crashing in Chicago. The plane crashed in the Chicago, Illinois, United States, housing complex when it was about to take off from O'Hare International Airport on May 25, 1979. The aircraft was on its way from Chicago to Los Angeles. The accident caused by damage to the aircraft engine killed all passengers, totaling 258 people and 13 crew members and 2 people on land. Listener, that's today in history.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Navy and Ministry of Agriculture patrol together. Before Idul Fitri celebration, the Joint Agricultural Quarantine Agency and the Indonesian Navy in Tanjung Balai Karimun held a sea patrol together. The location is along Karimun Waters, Riau Islands Province by using the Marine Security Patrol Combat Boat. The sea patrols took place on May the 21st and 22nd from 9 a.m. until 2 a.m. and were led by Lieutenant Colonel Catur Yugiantoro, Commander of the Indonesian Navy Base Tanjung Balai Karimun and Head of the Agriculture Quarantine Agency, Ali Jamil. According to Jamil, the patrol was aimed at tightening traffic control of agricultural commodities, especially illegal agricultural commodities from abroad. This is because the Riau Islands province borders the sea directly with neighboring Malaysia and Singapore. Patrols are focused on finding carriers of animal, plants, and their products from abroad via untraditional ways. Jamil explained, ahead of the Idul Fitri holiday, the traffic in the Malacca Straits waters is increasingly crowded. This vulnerability has the potential as an infestation of animal and plant pests that can threaten the food sovereignty program being intensified by the government. Priyadi, head of the Tanjung Balai Karimun Agricultural Quarantine Station, added that during 2017 until 2018, quarantine officers managed to prevent the entry of illegal commodities from abroad 38 times with 215 arrests. It has a big challenge considering the very large entry area, so that it is designated as a prone zone 1 by the Agriculture Quarantine Agency. National data on law enforcement carried out by the Agriculture Quarantine Agency for the past 3 years has continued to increase. According to Jamil, the Agriculture Quarantine Agency determined 4 vulnerable zones for potential entry of illegal carriers, namely Zone 1 on the coast of Sumatra, Prone Zone 2 in Kalimantan, Sulawesi and surrounding areas, the third prone zones covering the Nusa Tenggara and surrounding areas, and the fourth vulnerable zone in the region of Papua border and surroundings. In order to optimize the monitoring function, the Agriculture Quarantine Agency cooperates with the Indonesian National Police, the Army and the Navy. Jamil hopes that the collaboration that has been established well can continue to be improved to prevent the potential entry of dangerous pests and diseases into the territory of the Republic of Indonesia. Well, that was My Indonesia today on Indonesian Navy and Ministry of Agriculture patrol together. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pertama aku tak menyangka semua akan begini. Ku yakini aku takkan selalu sendiri. Namun kenyataan jomblo meski ku katakan hanya kau yang terindah. Aku tak suatu saat kita jadi
jom. Kiranya kau memberikan satu kesempatan untuk membuktikan hatiku hanya untukmu.
Aku sungguh meragu maukah dirimu cintaku.
Aku takkan bohong, ini bukanlah modus.
sewindu. Tapi jangan begini terus, kau gantung dan gak jelas.
Voice of Indonesia.
Arari was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today we will introduce you about a halal tourism village in Praia Barat sub-district, Central Lombok Regency, was Nusa Tenggara province, called Setanggor Village. The village has a population of 4,065 people, and it is only 5 kilometers away from the Lombok International Airport. Lombok offers abundant tourism potentials that attract many tourists. Setanggor Tourism Village offers unique and complete tourism concepts compared to other tourism villages. There are various tourism packages offered by the village comprising of cultural tourism, educational, agribusiness, culinary, social, as well as religious tourism. The village is designed as a halal tourism village because in the past there were many stores selling liquor in the region. However, the village has been acknowledged as a halal tourism village. The establishment of the village as a halal tourism destination also represents Lombok's title as Pulau Seribu Masjid, or the island of thousands of mosques. Located 111 meters above the sea level, Setanggor has spectacular panorama. Here, you can witness sunrise and sunset on rice field. This surely will be an unforgettable experience. In addition, there are various activities that you can also try. For example, you can visit a weaving center to learn about the process of making weaving and view the wonderful collections of Indonesian weavery. Besides that, you can also have a lunch in the middle of rice field. You can savor the delicacy of traditional Lombok foods. There are also countless art and cultural performances you can watch at this village. For example, a dance center displaying old musical instrument called gong. Your stay at the village will be more unthrilling with the experience of gardening, such as picking dragon fruit and cassava. You can also try the tasty baked cassava with a cup of coffee. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Setanggor Village. I'm Putri Safir Adela. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for academics from the University of Indonesia, namely Valda Orchidia Zahwa, Yuda Dwi Putra, Kalamulo Ramli, and Johan Suryanto, succeeded in creating a tool that could be a solution to communicate while on the mountain. The tool is named Mountable. Mountable is a system of monitoring, communication, and information in areas without cellular signals and without internet, especially in the mountain climbing area. This technology is the only provider of climbing security and safety services in Indonesia that utilizes technology. Through this Mountable technology, the four University of Indonesia academics succeeded in winning the gold medal at the 2019 Indonesian International Invention Festival. Basically, Mountable is developed on the basis of IoT or Internet of Things, with a system consisting of tracking tools, signal transmitters, websites, and applications. The whole system is integrated using the LoRa or Long Range Network, which is wireless technology that has wireless wide area network with a small power consumption, so that it has a battery life of up to 2 months. If we compare with other communication tools such as walkie-talkies and the like that use satellite communication, Mountable has a number of advantages. Among these are cheaper production costs because they use Internet of Things technology. Besides that, Mountable is also equipped with directions, tracking and monitoring of climbers, emergency systems when unpredictable things happened, weather detection, real-time system, and group tracking to find out if there are members from a separate group. It is hoped that this innovative work can help overcome the obstacles experienced by mountain climbers, including getting lost, accidents, and other fatalities, and also the difficulty of communication carried out in the mountain area. Listener, that was Miscellany for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Biarkanlah biarlah aku terbang bebas mencari cinta sejati. Kata-kata tak mungkin aku abaikan kata hati. Ku harus jujur pada hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hello listener, it is nice to meet again with me Putri in Music Corner segment. In today's edition, we present a song in religious dance entitled Rindu Rasul. The song with the title Rindu Rasul was composed by Taufik Ismail, an Indonesian literature. The song tells about deep homesickness to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though centuries have passed, as if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still around his followers, his love and sincerity will be not unrequited. Previously, the Rindu Rasul song was popularized by Bimbo. Now, the song is re-sung by Fidi Aldiano along with Sam Bimbo. Their vocal power, which is different from generation to generation, makes the song more melodious. The song is an album entitled Lelaki Pilihan, which was released in 2009. Listener, here is Fidi Aldiano feat. Sam Bimbo with a song entitled Rindu Rasul.
Secara bersahaja. berabad jarak darimu ya Rasul. Serasa tika di sini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dengan kalian ku lari kembali. ributkan. Buat apa bicara panjang? Kita sudah tahu siapa yang akan menang. Mendengarkanmu berjam-jam, sempat kupikir kau orang baik. Saat telingaku keram, ternyata kau memang kau baik.
Genggamlah kedua tanganku, bantu aku keluar kembali. Topang
Voice of Indonesia.
Terpaksa aku sendiri, sementara saja kini. Bersabarkan datang hari, meskipun ku lelah. Aku takut kamu tak mengerti caraku sampaikan rasa ini. Kamu tak mengerti, ajarkan aku tuh bisa dapat ungkapkan rasa. Agar kamu kan percaya, begitu ku butuh cinta. Kembali lagi terulang, tergores hatiku ini. Setelah lama menyimpan rasa ini terlalu dalam, terlalu dalam. Ajarkan aku tuh bisa dapat ungkapkan rasa. Agar kamu kan percaya, begitu ku butuh cinta. Ajarkan aku tuh bisa bibirku katakan cinta sekarang. Tak mengerti.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.